say, Father, we just give it all into your hands. And we just know that you love people, Lord, and you love to make a way for your word to be manifest, oh God, and your love to be seen in practical ways. And we look to you, Father, for all your supernatural and provision that you do through people naturally, Lord God. And we just love you. I pray, Father God, I just give us stories and stories, Lord God, as we go and deliver these hampers. We're going to deliver these hampers this year. We're going to put our feet to the ground. We're going to hand in hampers after praying over them and giving them in Jesus' name. And the promise that you gave to Joshua, we will see come to pass. Every place you put your foot. Every place. We ask you for Bray, Father. We ask that you would touch Bray, Father. We ask that you would touch the people of Bray, Father. We ask that you would give us your compassion, Lord, your love, your heartbeat for them, Father. I pray this morning we supernaturally hear you, Father. We supernaturally hear you speak to our hearts and depositing or erupting in us, oh God, your love for people, oh God, afresh and new, Lord. That what's your agenda would be our agenda, Father. What's your passion would be our passion, oh God. We just thank you. We speak over Bray. We just step out, Father, and speak over Bray that you will come to know Jesus. You will know the love of God. You will know the mercy and the grace of God. You will hear the lion roar over Bray. You will hear the lion roar, Bray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I remember one time about 4 years ago, we were praying up in the other building, and I had a picture of Jesus, like a lion up on the, like as you're going out towards what's the name of that place? Ballywaltrum, out the exit that way. I had a picture like up on the mountain, like Jesus just looking over Bray. And there's a time when he's going to roar. There's a time when he's going to, and everyone's going to wake up. And everyone's going to hear this. There's going to be no sleep and no slumber because nobody sits still when the lion roars. And we had prayer meeting out here, which is going to be happening in January. And we've seen the enemy, like four different groups went to four different corners of Bray. And every one of them came back with a different picture, but saying the same thing. That there's a day when the enemy is being evicted out of Bray. That we've seen old men leaving, dogs running out, rats running out, dirty water being washed out with Bray. Four different groups coming back with the same report. That day is on its way. That day is on its way. And I pray that you hear God this morning. Amen. I'm excited about it. Is it 25 past 12? Oh my goodness. There was a lot of announcements. I only prayed. What's it? 5-point sermon. Here we go. Here, listen. What's the story with God? What's the story? God is supernatural. And I want us just to lean into that thought and that truth that God is not some natural God. God is a supernatural God. And the reason why I'm saying that, because we can, like, there was an age in the eras of the world that was called the age of reason or the age of enlightenment. And this is what happened. Not just the world. I read some atheist stuff that they had to say about scriptures and you had to say about God and wherever. And that's to their own detriment. But not only did this, like, trying to rationalize God, trying to put him in a box. You can't can God. You can't put him in a can and make him sue. You know, I think it was Louis Pasteur, or some guy, that guy Pasteur, he says that God created us in his image and mankind has been returning the favor ever since. Do you get me? And so, like, that we make God suit our box. We make God, well, we plaster you in there, God, and that's what you must do because I have you plastered in. And the church of that day even would look at scriptures and rationalize scriptures, even to the point where it's hilarious when you look at it. But in the day, they were like, no, God has given us this intellect, which is nothing wrong with intellect, as long as it's under the sanctification and the control of the Holy Spirit and not the other way around. God has given us this mind, and there's nothing wrong with our minds, but as long as it's under the renewal process of God, we're going to be putting God into cans again and into boxes again. And there's nothing wrong with having a thought life, but the thoughts that are contrary to the word of God and who God is, them thoughts need to be taken captive and bring it under the subjection of who Jesus Christ is. So all of these things he's given us, but they're not supposed to be in control. Paul reminds us in Thessalonians that we're made this way, spirit, soul, and body. Not body, soul, and spirit, what feels good and looks good to hear, or what makes us feel good emotionally sometimes, or wrong emotionally sometimes. That's not where we're to be dictated from. They're supposed to be under control, or under the renewal and the sanctification process of the Holy Spirit, which is supernatural. The church said stuff like this. The reason why Jesus walked on water is because they reasoned out that he knew where stones were. Well, that's even more of a miracle, isn't it, in itself, when you think of it? Or the 5 loaves and fishes, there's writings that they said, this is not non-believers, this is not atheists, this is not people trying to make fun of Christianity. This was within the church at the time. And he says, when Jesus fed the 5,000 with the loaves and fishes, that announced to everyone that all the people of the day used to wear big long robes and they had many, many folds. And within the folds was loaves and fishes, more and more, that they just never seen anyone getting. And you're like, will you snap out? Who puts fish in their clothes anyway? You know what I mean? But what they were doing was they were reasoning the supernatural ability of God right out of the church, right out of existence. And when you look back over church history, you will see the results of that throughout Europe and throughout the world. Because we've built monuments to this. We call them cathedrals and we call them chapels and we call them all types of things. But when you come in, the supernatural ability of God is not at work, and that's not what God is about. Paul says that it's his great power that is at work within us. And if he's not at work within us, we have to question what's going on, Lord, because your work is supposed to be in us. Jesus says God is spirit. You can't naturalize God. When you and I come to know Jesus, Jesus says this. Nicodemus says to Jesus in John chapter 3, how can I enter that kingdom you keep talking about? See, Jesus was provoking like curiosity and jealousy about the way his kingdom was. And Nicodemus, who was a religious man, comes and says, how do I get into that kingdom? And this is what Jesus says. Unless you're born again, unless something supernatural happens from heaven to earth, you can't even see this kingdom. If I was with young people, you know the wrestler John Cena? You can't see me. That's what Jesus was saying. Unless there's a transference of you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, unless your spirit is being made alive by the Holy Spirit, you can't, not that you can't even enter, you won't even see it because all you're seeing is with natural eyes. Paul talks about walking in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, being baptized in the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit. He was saying that when we are born again, we have access to the supernatural ability of God that he has made available to us. And everything else that we are, everything that makes us up, our mind, our soul, our intellect, everything is not supposed to be the one that is dictating to everything about the things of God, but it's about the Spirit of God dictating to all them things. Amen? So, 25 then. That was the end. So anyway, I'm just trying to see how I'll get through this very quick to be able to do something at the end. So I want us to lean into the supernatural God that is your God and is my God. The God of the Bible, the God that can do anything. You might see a mountain, he sees a miracle. You might see sin, he sees mercy. That we have to get his eyes, his perspective on things. That's why Paul prays in Ephesians, Father, this is my prayer. Open the eyes of the heart. Give them enlightenment and understanding so they may know you better. Know you better. Know your ways, the way you do things, your options for every situation. Our role is to lean into the supernatural ability of God. Here's one thing. Anyone here that is creative, put up your hand. Now, the art fair is on the 12th. No. So, Right, now, that was about six people that only put your hands up, right? But when we say, anyone here is creative, we think like arty, don't we? We think, like, I don't play a piano or, I don't paint or I don't do crafts. We think that's like arty, that's being artistic. But creativity is something that's available to us all and we all have it. We've been given that part of God. He created us. Creator created us, and he creates through us, even naturally, but also supernaturally. So you're all creative, yeah? But here's the beauty about God. God is so magnificent. He is so supreme. He is so above everything else. The reason why we lean into him for his understanding, for his thinking on this subject, on this situation, this process, this moment, that if we lean into him, not leaning on our own understanding, but we lean into him and say, God, what is your creative option for this to be turned around or to go through this? That's amazing. The problem with some of us is we still want the priest to do that for us. Well, I'll get such and such. There's nothing wrong with getting such and such to pray, but not at the expense of you leaning into God. Not at the expense of that. We don't need a priest. We're all priests. No such thing as laity in the Bible. Jesus came away to do away with laity and made us all priests and kings. So we can all lean into God no matter what's going on, and we say, God, what is your creative option in this situation? And here's the beauty of God, because he's outside time and he's out time space. He looks at a situation from 20 different angles. He looks at it this way and that way. And if we look at it just naturally, we're just going to see a one dimension. But God is so incredible that he says he has only got one option. He has a multitude of options out of one situation. Because if the enemy tries to cut you off, God said, there's your way out there. There's the prayer to pray. There's the act to act. There's the thing to declare. There's the thing to do or not to do. We just, boom, the enemy tries to lock you in. He's like, you can't keep up with God. Why? Because he's a created being. And if we lean into him, and very quickly, here's what happens it's in the Bible somewhere. Oh, it's in 2 Kings chapter 6. So very quickly, here's my points. Here's supernatural. The king of Aram is coming against Israel. And Elijah, not naturally, not he booked the place, but supernaturally could hear the strategies of the enemy. So here's where we lean into the Lord. Not only for his creative ways out, but Lord, how is the enemy coming against me? How is the enemy coming against my family? Lord, you can give me supernatural insight. I've heard great stories of women getting insight, I heard it from women mostly, getting insight, right? The hubby doesn't know Jesus, doesn't want to know Jesus. He wakes up in the middle of the night, he's like drunk or something, wakes up in the middle of the night, and she finds the wife anointing his head with oil. What are you doing, honey? That God was shown to one woman that I know of, but he comes to know the Lord. Yeah, he gets a fright. Yes, he doesn't know what's going on, but he's not going to hell anymore. And his Elisha listening in supernaturally, going back to the king and saying to the king, don't go that way, because here's the option now that God has given us. The creative option of God is that you don't go that way because the enemy is trying to set you up. The enemy is going, the king of Aram is like, what's going on? He's looking at all these people. Who is this? Who's ratting on us? Who's in bed with the enemy, being the Israelites? And someone said, there's none of us. It's this Elisha fella. It's this man of God. It's this someone who leans into the supernatural abilities of God, the things of the Spirit, the things that can go beyond the natural, the thing that supersedes anything that is human. He says, he's listening in. And the king says, I'm cutting this short. The king says, go and capture him and kill him. And he sends an army and all that stuff. And anyway, this is where the servant of Elisha is freaking out. Because he's looking just naturally. He's like, Elijah, there's an army outside. And Elisha says, Lord, open his eyes. Boom. Open his eyes. And he confessed to open his eyes. And as he's seen in the Spirit, he starts confessing now what he sees in the Spirit. He says, Elisha, outside of all of them, there's another army. And they're on fire, and there's soldiers, and there's horses, and there's chariots, and they all are on fire. And greater is he, or greater more is with us than with them, type of thing, yeah? And so he says, there's more with us. And see, what he done was, what he's seen in the Spirit, he confessed it with his mouth. And I tell you, if you confess what you see God's shown you, if you confess it, you possess it. If you confess it, you will possess it. He didn't. When he starts confessing what he sees in the Spirit, and I'm not just saying making up things like confessing stuff, like because church got a bit ridiculous around this stuff. I confess that I'm 6 foot tall. Doesn't matter how much I confess I'm 6 foot tall. I'm not going to be 6 foot tall. So I'm not saying be stupid with your confession. I'm saying what you see in the Spirit, what you lean into God. Like Mags encouraged us at the very beginning about our singing. She says, we're creating an atmosphere. Your confession creates atmosphere. Because listen, if you possess it, if you have confessed it, you possess it, right? Have you ever gone and said to yourself, I'm really down today? Yeah, what you're possessing? Anything. I'm not good at that. I'll never achieve this. I'll never do that. You're not achieving it, I bet you. Because what you're confessing, you're possessing. But what you see in the Spirit, if you confess it, you possess it. It's incredible. I was just thinking of Rosa Parks. You know, all the bus deal, she gets sent to court, and they fine, and she says, I'm not paying this fine. And she's like, no, why should I, you know, be discriminated against? I'm not paying. And so she got a few people to sort of, protest outside the courts. They wanted to pay $34, something incredible. She's like, no way. And Martin Luther King was a new Baptist minister, and they pushed him to the forefront of all of this thing. But here's what they were doing. They were outside, and they were singing a song, We Shall Overcome. Now, they didn't overcome at that moment. But they were confessing what they wanted to possess. We will overcome. And then they did overcome, didn't they? And they did break through racial barriers, and they did break through certain things. And Elisha's servant says, I see them. And what he's seen in the Spirit, he confessed with his mouth, and he's seen the victory. What happens is he brought them in. Elijah prayed a prayer, and they all got blinded, and he brought them into the king. The king wanted to kill them, and he wouldn't let them kill them. He says, send them back. And then what happens in Israel, the king raised up more kings, more armies to come against Israel. And they brought the siege of Samaria, and the king and all was inside in Elisha. And the king is walking one day, and there's a famine, and there's starvation. Like a donkey's head was going for something like 8,000, equivalent of 8,000 euro. Now who eats donkey's head? You don't see that on the menu, do you? You don't see that like in some gourmet restaurant, like, oh, no one else. There's no meat on donkey's head. It's just bone. Donkey's head speaks of stubbornness, doesn't it? It's like stubborn, staying stubborn in the natural. You'll never see the supernatural. No, this is the way I want to see you, Lord. This is the way. Well, you can do that all you want. Bang your head off a wall. Give out about me. Leave church. Give out about everybody. But it's you that's just being stubborn. It's you that wants to eat off the donkey's head. The king, and then not only that, but the dove dung, you know what I mean, was going like for a grand a cup. Little balls. Full cups full of little dung things. Dung balls or something. I don't know how to say it. Poo. Right, so listen. They were, look at what's dung. It's the leftovers of yesterday. It's like we don't want the dove dung, we want the dove. We don't want what we knew about yesterday or what we leaned in yesterday for the situation we were in yesterday or the circumstance we were praying into. We don't want the yesterday's leftovers or yesterday's droppings. We want the Holy Spirit. We want the dove to speak to us, to learn, to say, this is the way through this. And not only that, but a woman boiled her son. And now they're with another woman. This is how far they'd gone. And the king was walking. And she says, King, will you help us? He said, how can I help you? I have nothing. And she says, we agreed to eat our children. And I killed my son. We ate him. And now she's hit her son. And the son, and the king heard this. He rips off his cloak. And he has sackcloth and ashes underneath. And he's calling out to God. We're out the supernatural. We're leaving nothing to the next generations. We're out giving them our story in there, what we've experienced of God. We're just giving them yesterday's droppings. And they were eating their next generation. We have to be people that pass on something. That's why we're so important as believers in this generation. We're so important because if the Lord tarries, there's more to come behind us. And the king freaks out, right? The king freaks out so much that he says, I want Elijah's head on the plate because he let them go. And they go to get Elisha, and Elisha stands up and he says, He hears from God. He says, by this time tomorrow, you'll be able to get flour and all the things that we need for pittance. And there's a man there that's chief of the army. And he says, literally, don't be so ridiculous. How is this going to change? He was only looking naturally. He was only thinking God was this natural God, that this can only turn around naturally. And Elisha says, you will have no part in what's going to happen tomorrow. You will have nothing, because that's thinking that way. Not only thinking that way, confessing what you're confessing, you're going to possess nothing. And then the next day, you know what happens? God's creative option, 4 lepers outside the city. Imagine, you think God's creative option was going to be a bigger army. You think God's, 4 lepers. And they're out there and they say, if we sit here, we die. If we go into the city, we die. Well, let's go over to the enemy's camp. And if we find something to eat, we find something to eat, we live. But if the killers die, so we're going to die anyway. And they go over. And they go into the camp and there's no army there. So they go in and they start, like I said, they must be from my flats. They went in and they took jewels and clothes and food and they hid it. And they went back again and they were going to do the same. And one of them says, it's not right that we keep this good news to ourselves. Guys, it ain't right keeping the good news to yourself or myself. One of them, we have to go to the city. We have to tell others about what we have received, about what we have seen. That's why Friday night is so important. That's why bringing someone, confessing your faith, telling other people, it's not fair to keep it to ourselves, because we have eternal life. We have the King of Kings living inside of us. We have access to supernatural outcomes of every circumstances, and to keep that to ourselves, it just ain't right. And if these lepers didn't think it was right, they ran back to the city shouting them, hey! And the king sent people out. And this is what happens. The army heard chariots and horses and soldiers. They thought the king of Israel had gone and got a bigger army. But it wasn't the army that they were. It wasn't the army of natural. It was what Elisha and the servants seeing. What they seen in the spirit and confessed it in the spirit. They heard it in the natural and it brought about a victory. Are you with me? That like what we confess, we possess. But not only is it just some supernatural, this thing that's happening somewhere out there. But those in the natural realm start to hear what you're confessing and what you're seeing in the spiritual realm. And he left everything behind him and ran, and the victory was brought about that day. That's what's available to us. That's why we can't just look at every situation naturally, because we won't receive of what God has for tomorrow. We'd be frustrated and we'd be just normal Christians. Did you ever hear Paul saying, I felt like this when I had to get glasses? You notice I'm still not wearing them, but I can't see a thing down here. That's all right. I can't see any of yous either. No, mind yous. Sharon says, what's wrong with you? I was really down that I had to get glasses. And I says, I feel like a mere human. She says, what did you think you were before the glasses? I don't know. But Paul says in Corinthians, he says, you're acting like mere humans. You're just thinking out of your own intellect. You're just thinking out of your own reason. You're just gaining your own desires. He says, you're not thinking right. That there's a bigger picture. And Paul was saying that like in Ephesians, I'm praying that your eyes will be open so that what you see, you confess, that you know God's supernatural ability of every circumstances. I pray that your prayer life changes from this moment on. You don't have to come up with the answer. You lean into him. If you don't hear anything at that moment, wait. If you don't hear anything, go back to what he's already written in his word. Go back. Like you can say every morning, no, it's not a bad day. You don't have to agree with the weatherman. You don't have to agree with whoever's on the first thing in the morning. If you don't hear God in the morning, you can go to his word, which he's written for you. His mercies are new every morning. Now you confess it, you possess it. Because he's written it. I'm finished with this, because this is what I believe God wants to do. I was in the airport. You know, fathers are made to embarrass their daughters, aren't they? I have 4 daughters. I was at the airport, and Eric and Becky and Naomi was with me, and Paul Martin, who was worse than the girls anyway. I was in the elevator, and I took out my phone, And there was two German girls and there was two Indian girls, not together, but they were in the elevator. And I says out loud, because I wanted to embarrass the girls and just have a bit of fun, and I says, "Do you see the new app I got?" And they said, "What new app?" They knew I was up to something because I was saying it real loud for the other girls to hear. And I says, "It's an app for opening automatic doors." They said, "Don't be stupid. How could you have an app?" I says, "Look, it works so the elevator stops and I let them press my phone and the door opens." Right, and then it goes to another floor. I'm like, "Told you it works," and I've done it again. And the two Indian girls start to giggle, and the two German girls, well, you know, they were just staying true to their culture. And so anyway, we goes down. It was in the new part, Terminal 2, and we're there. And I'm still worried now at this stage. And the two girls there in Paul Martin, and I'm standing there waiting on people to come out. We were waiting on somebody. The German girls on one side, the Indian girls on the other. And I could see the shadow of people coming towards the door, and I kept going, "Now, when do you see it works?" And every time I seen someone, like a shadow, I'd press the button and the door would open. And like, anyway, so it got a bit war now after a while because the girls are really going to kill me. So anyway, we're going out in the car, right? We're at the airport, at the lights, and I'm sitting there in the lights, and I look across, and the two German girls in the car beside me waiting at the same traffic lights. So I rolled down the window, took out my phone, and started pressing it at the traffic light, right? And I was like, it was just so funny. They wanted to laugh so bad, you couldn't believe how bad they wanted to laugh, but they just wouldn't give in. But I'm sure they're telling that story somewhere. But here's the thing: God wants to open supernatural doors for you. God the Father wants to, he won't embarrass you, he'll embarrass the enemy. He'll embarrass who's come against you. He will embarrass those who will run away from hearing noises because of what God will do for you. He will open doors. I want us to stand. God is good. Amen.